Well, you turn with me for our scripture reading of this morning, which is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is Thanksgiving weekend. And Thanksgiving has a long history in Canada. One of the earliest celebrations of Thanksgiving of which we know about was observed by Martin Frobisher in 1578 after he returned from an early search for the Northwest Passage. He didn't find the passage. He was simply thankful that he had returned home and was still alive. Others making that same search were not so blessed. French settlers who came to New France with Samuel de Champlain in the early 1600s were known to have celebrated their harvest with Thanksgiving. And we know there were Huguenot believers among them, and some of them were quite prominent. That could be some of their influence as well. And then when the United Empire Loyalists came to Canada after the Revolutionary War, they brought along the American Puritan Thanksgiving influence that has further touched our practice in Canada. And then finally, the government of Canada in 1957 proclaimed, and I quote, "A day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed, to be observed on the second Monday in October," which accounts for the fact that this is a holiday weekend. Canada has a history of giving thanks. And it caused me to inquire, well, really, how important is giving thanks? And the reply that we find in the scriptures would suggest it's very important. You can see that from my text, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says to us, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This text deserves our closer attention, and I invite you to check out with me this morning, first of all, the will of God. Secondly, consider the good that comes our way. And finally, we'll consider the not so good that comes our way. According to my text, it's the will of God for all of us to give thanks. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's God's will for us to give thanks. Hence the command, in everything, give thanks. And this is by no means the only place in Scripture that you will find this command. The command is repeated at least 10 times in the one book of Psalms. We heard it repeated in the call to worship for today. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And we have plenty of reasons for which to give thanks. But none is really more important than the fact it's God's will for us. This is what he wants us to do. And then Psalm 92, verse 1 tells us, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And it's good because it's pleasing to the Lord. It's what he wants us to do. And then it's good because it's good for us. It's good for you. Giving thanks is uplifting. Johnson Oldman published a gospel song back in 1897 that we used to sing in the church where I grew up, that conveys the idea of surveying what God has done for us, that we might indeed keep in mind the things for which we have to give thanks. Listen to the first verse. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You'll be surprised and uplifted as you give thanks to God for the blessings you recall before Him. Giving thanks, of course, can be done in many ways. In the first place, it's to be done from the heart. Giving thanks should never be the empty mouthing of words. It should come from deep within. Ephesians 6:6 talks about doing the will of God from the heart. Well, there it is, and this is God's will. We need to be at heart grateful people. But don't let it go at that. Thanks also needs to be expressed. Luke 17 tells us a story about 10 lepers that came to Jesus and called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And in response, Jesus told them to follow the Old Testament procedure and go show themselves to the priests. And as they went, they found themselves cleansed. One of them, when he saw himself cleansed, went back to Jesus, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, and gave thanks. To which Jesus replied, "Were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Why couldn't the other 9 have come with this fellow?" And all of them express their gratitude and thanks to the Lord. If you're thankful to God, say so. It's really one of the reasons we've gathered here this morning, is it not? To express our thanks to God for all His blessings. Thanks in the heart should be expressed by the voice. There are other significant ways of expressing thanks. Sometimes we express thanks by giving gifts. We occasionally do this on the human level. There have been times when I've been able to serve folks in one practical way or another, and they've expressed their thanks by giving to me a gift. And I have done the same when others have served me. We had a neighbor that we always had to look after our property when we were away from our home. And we always liked to bring along something from our trip to give him as a gift, saying by it, "Thanks for keeping an eye on the house when we were gone." And we can do the same kind of thing when God has blessed us. Genesis chapter 14 tells us a story about how God delivered Abram when he went to war with those 4 kings that had kidnapped his nephew Lot. And on Abram's return, he met up with Melchizedek, the priest of God, and we're told that Abraham gave to the priest a tenth of all. It was how Abraham thanked God for his deliverance. I think also of how Jacob vowed to God when he was leaving home, if God was pleased to bring Jacob back to his father's house in peace, Jacob said he'd give to God a tenth of what he had. And we can express our thanks to God by giving to Him our gifts. And then finally, we can express our thanks to God by serving Him. Our Heidelberg Catechism is set up on the plan that we need to first consider our sin, and then we can appreciate the salvation God has provided for us. And then finally, it instructs us how to express our gratitude to God for His salvation by serving Him. It's a superb way of expressing thanks, and I commend it to you for your consideration. Those catechism fellows sure hit the nail on the head. It's important to give thanks. It pleases God. It's good for you. And so we're directed in our text from this morning, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now we need to move along and give a little thought to the good that God brings our way, for which we can give thanks. And seeing that this is harvest time, we can begin with the crops that God gives to us. Farmers know that without the blessing of God, there will be no crop. They can plow their fields and scatter the good seed on the ground, but unless God is pleased to bless that crop with rain, with water, there won't be any crop. That happened on many farms, I'm told, in the dirty 30s in this country. There was no crop. So we are dependent upon God for our crops. And it doesn't matter what the crop may be. It could be wheat, oats, barley, potatoes, carrots, beans, apples, peaches. I'm from the Okanagan, you see. And all the fruit that God gives to us. For all our crops, we need to give thanks to God. The government of Canada that passed that ordinance in 1957 had the harvest in mind when it made its proclamation. And inasmuch as it's Thanksgiving weekend, it wouldn't hurt to mention turkeys. And of course, all poultry, eggs, beef, pork, and so on down through the food chain. We're dependent upon God for it all. And we can't stop at just our food. How about the clothes we wear? We're among the best dressed people in all the earth. Our Heavenly Father knows we have need of these things, and He provides. And to clothing, we can add shelter. What fine homes we have in this country. Some years back, Mary and I went to Holland, and I discovered how much smaller many of the homes were there. And then I look at the homes being built these days in Kelowna, and I suspect it's very similar here in Lethbridge. There's some remarkable mansions being built these days. And then there are the opportunities for education, for health care, for transportation, for communication, technology. Our lives are crammed full of good things. How much do we thank God for it all? And then think of the folks in Afghanistan or North Korea or perhaps Venezuela who are so desperate to get out of the country they live in. Have we any idea how good we have it here in Canada? We ought to be the most thankful people in all the earth. We have so much good for which to give thanks. Somewhere along the way, I need to say something about giving thanks for life itself. I've already mentioned Martin Frobisher giving thanks for surviving his Arctic journey with life. Why is it our lives have to be threatened before we learn to give thanks? It's 14 years ago this week that I was discovered to have had a brain tumor. And I can tell you, since coming home after its removal, I started my devotions every day by thanking God I'm still alive. Where do you suppose you got your life? We do well to thank God that we're alive. And I still haven't got to the spiritual dimension. Thank God for his spiritual blessings. We can start with a pardon for our sins. What a huge relief that is. Or better still, we can thank God for the righteousness of Jesus that is imputed or accredited to us as we put our faith in him. And we can look forward to the day when we stand before God, not in our pathetic good works, but in the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then the Lord gives us strength for the journey. The gift of eternal life. And I'll end with God's gift to us of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes pointedly in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." God has so loved us. And as Peter observed in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, with Christ he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Simply put, there's no end to God's goodness to us. No end to the things for which we can offer him our thanks. But now I want to move on as my last point to talk about the not so good things that come our way in life. The text says in everything give thanks. And when all is going well, we agree, sure, we should give thanks for the good things. But suppose things are not going so well. Suppose your situation at the moment is just plain miserable. Things aren't working out the way you planned them to work out. In fact, you're inclined to grumble as Jacob did so many years ago. Everything is against me. Are you expected to give thanks then? In everything would seem to include the bad with the good. Can it really mean that? Well, consider this. The letter before us in which this instruction is given was written to the church at Thessalonica. And things in Thessalonica, excuse me, things in Thessalonica weren't going so good for the church in the days when Paul wrote this letter. In fact, at this very time, the church in Thessalonica was going through severe persecution. The constant experience of the believers in Thessalonica seemed to be one of hardship and grief. And along comes this letter from the Apostle Paul saying, "In everything give thanks." It was written in the midst of hardship and experiences. They were being told to give thanks in the midst of those difficult times. And I submit to you that that's exactly what the text would say to us in those times when we are facing hardship. Oh, but we argue it can't mean that, can it? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And I will readily confess it didn't make any sense to me when this text was particularly pointed out to me. It struck me as being rather ridiculous. And if you see life as a matter of chance, it will make no sense at all. But suppose life isn't chance. The counselor who directed me to give thanks when he heard the story of all my troubles realized that his advice wasn't registering. He had told me about this verse, "And everything give thanks." And had I given thanks in my experience, I hadn't given it a thought for a moment. I mean, why is he bringing this up now? And then he asked me if I could quote Romans 8:28. Oh, sure, I knew Romans 8:28. "All things work together for good." And in that moment, the Lord turned a light on in my head and in my heart. And I went out that afternoon and thanked the Lord for everything I could think of. Good, bad, and indifferent. I had been seriously depressed. I couldn't do my studies, and I was at college at the time. But the scriptures say, "In everything give thanks," and that's exactly what I did that day. And two things happened. One, I started the road of recovery. It took a while to get over the depression, but that's the very moment the recovery started. I know that. And secondly, put me on the road to the Reformed faith. For only a sovereign God who controls everything that comes to pass can tell you all things do work together for your good. I remember that day as if it was yesterday, although it was over, well, it was almost 61 years to, almost to the day, because it was October of 1960. And I've gone through 61 years since and never gone backwards one step to the depression that had been such a difficulty at that time. I hadn't been a very happy camper, but God turned my life around that day, and I've never had to look back. And I discovered something. You see, I'd been bitter and dissatisfied, unhappy, and you can't be bitter about things you've given thanks for. I had been ticked off that things weren't the way they should be. I wasn't thankful. But now I'd learned something different. And if you're giving thanks, all that bitterness disappears. The depression fades and life returns to normal. And I'm not the first person to have discovered that. Joseph, way back in the first book of the Bible, understood this process very well. Joseph certainly had a rough time. His brothers didn't like him. They sold him into slavery. And then Joseph found himself working with this fellow Potiphar, and the wife took a shine to Joseph, which was rejected. And she framed Joseph, and he ended up in prison. Tough. Very tough. But you know, that was God's way of bringing Joseph to Pharaoh's attention and putting Joseph in the position of preparing Egypt for a famine. Preparations that spared Egypt and spared Joseph's own family. And much later, after father died and Joseph's brothers were fearful of what Joseph might do now, that's when Joseph explained to them, "You meant evil against me. You were nasty to me." And they were. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is today, to save many people alive. God looks after his people. And this is why we should give thanks in every situation in which we find ourselves. And I can't leave this without thinking of the story of Jesus. He wasn't treated very well either. We're told in the scriptures, he came to his own, and his own received him not. They took him prisoner, tried him on a trumped-up charge, sentenced him to be crucified. Not a pleasant experience. And yet the scriptures tell us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He knew what God was doing. And he was giving himself for the salvation of his people, of all who would come through the generations in repentance and faith to him. For the joy that was set before him. Doesn't say he gave thanks, but you can be sure he did, for the joy that was set before him. Okay, we claim to be his followers, and we're called to be like Jesus. How important is it to give thanks? Scripture suggests it's very important. It tells us, in everything, give thanks. It's God's will for his people. It pleases God. It's good for you. how thankful we should be, especially this Thanksgiving, the people who have so much in every way. It's not necessarily ours to figure out what God's doing all the time. It's ours to trust Him and to give thanks. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it's your word that says, in everything give thanks. And we've brought at least some thanks to you at different times. But we're not so sure we've thanked you in everything. Help us to be more mindful of what you are doing in our world. Help us to be more mindful that everything does work together for the good of God's people. And help us to give thanks for all the blessings. Help us to give thanks in the midst of all the difficulties, and help us to give thanks for your unspeakable gift to us of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.